Okay, we're starting today at the beginning of Daf Vav, Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to get into definitions of Yoreh, Malkosh. Yoreh is the first rain, the Malkosh is the last rain. Yesterday we saw a source that talked about the Yoreh and the Malkosh were both in Nisan. It was from this Pasuk in Yoel, that one year there was a drought and the Arbeh came. They also had no rain, and the locusts ate everything, and these miracles happened. So, but really, generally, we say that the Yoreh is in Mar Cheshvan, and the Malkosh is in Nisan. We're going to see some alternative opinions to this, and we're going to also understand the definitions of Yoreh and Malkosh. Tanu Rabbanan, Yoreh shemoreh et habriot lahatiach gagotehem ulachnis et perotehen ulasok kol tzarchehen. This is great, right? What's the first rain? It's a reminder to everybody. Moreh means to teach. It teaches everybody, you better go seal up your roofs and do everything because the rainy season is coming. It's almost like a calling out to the people. We all know that we push things off, and then we get that sign. The rain starts coming in. We say, oh my God, I didn't take care of this. So that's I like that interpretation, that it's moreh to people that they have to deal with the winter coming. Also, you have to remember, in those days, it was every year they'd have to redo things sometimes. In our houses also, we have to redo things every year with the rain. But generally, it was much worse in those days, and they really needed to fix up their roofs and bring in all their fruits and take care of everything before the rains destroyed it all. Davar acher, again, the perot really, I think it generally means, it could mean also the fruits, but I think it generally means the crops that were still out there. Although we'll see today, they're talking about zeytin, that people would bring their zeytin in by then, so maybe it's also produce. Fruits. What?
Produce.
Right, any produce. Okay, davar acher, second interpretation. Shem marve et haaretz. Okay, moreh from the lashon of marve. Saturates. That's okay. It saturates the land. Umashke ad tahom, and it fills it with water until the decks.
Is that a word in modern Hebrew too?
Yeah.
To saturate.
Yeah, I think it can mean to saturate. It comes from what's the word? No, it's a modern word. I'm trying to think of another form of it. It doesn't come into mind right now. Okay, shneimar tlameha rave nachat gedudeha berivivim timogagna. How does it read? Simchat tevarech. Okay, so here I don't know how to translate it.
First. You bring pleasure to its bands. If people with showers you soften it, the earth, you, its growth you bless.
Okay, let's try to interpret that into words that we understand.
In English?
Okay. So, it moistens the earth, right? That's why marveh is to moisten here. Tlameha, watering its ridges, okay? Like the ridges are watered. Nachet gedudeha.
It says furrows.
Right, it settles down into its furrows. Brivivim timogagna, and you make it soft with your rain showers. Simchat tevarech, its growth should be blessed. Okay. Davar acher, so there you see that the word rava is to saturate. Davar acher, yoreh sheyored benachat ve'eno yoreh bezav. Okay, they take yored to be yored, but yored benachat. Okay, again, yored doesn't necessarily mean that, but they're kind of taking some of the letters of the word and saying it means yored benachat. It goes down softly, gently, and not in anger. Okay, we're going to talk a bit about this today, and we've seen this before, that there's rains that are good and there's rains that are bad. Just like we saw, there's winds that are good, there's winds that are bad. All these things can be good in certain amounts and not good in other amounts. So it's yored benachat, but not with anger. So now they say, "Oh, I know Yoreh Ela Shemashir et Haperot uMashtif et Hazraim uMashtif et Ha'ilanot." Maybe Yoreh means that it starts more like a powerful rain, that it starts knocking down all the fruits and wiping out all the seeds that you just planted and drowning out all the trees. So maybe that would be it. Talmud Lamar, no, we learn it from Malkosh because it says Yoreh uMalkosh. So we're going to do what's called a Hekesh. What's true for one is true for the other. Malkosh. Ma malkosh libracha, ap yoreh libracha. Just like malkosh is a blessing, also the yoreh is a blessing, and therefore it can't be that it's this rain that comes and wipes everything out. Now they say, but how do you know that malkosh is libracha? And then they're going to say something incredibly circular. Oh, eino makosh, ela shamapila tabatim u'mishaberet ha'ilanot u'ma'alet ha'sakaim. Maybe makosh is, it knocks down the houses, it breaks the trees, and it brings up, I forgot again what this word, the locusts, right. It brings up the locusts. Tamud lamar yoreh. Ah, we learn from the word yoreh. Ma yoreh lebracha, af makosh lebracha. Okay, so now it learns from each, from the other, that this is lebracha, so that must be lebracha, but obviously we have a problem here. So then they say, v'yoreh gufe menalan. So where do we really learn yoreh from? If we can't really learn it from makosh, because makosh we learn from yoreh, so how are we going to learn yoreh? Dichtiv, u'b'nei tzion gilu v'samchu ba'ashem alokechem. One second. Gilu v'simchu. Okay. It's a tzivur to them. You should be happy with Hashem Elokeichem. Ki natan lachem et hamoreh letzedakah v'yored lachem geshem moreh u'makosh barishon. So what does it say? I'm going to give you the moreh letzedakah. Letzedakah is for good. So here you learn that it's a positive word. The yored is positive, and since that's positive, then we learn the makosh is positive in lebracha. Okay, so we have three different interpretations just to review of what moreh is. Either it teaches you get your houses in order, the rain is about to come, or it saturates the land, or it comes down gently. The first one has the most appropriate explanation in terms of why the first rains are called this. The other ones, and we're even going to see, the second interpretation says it goes down to the Tahom. We're going to see later that they really talk about the first rains, they don't really go down to the Tahom, or at least it's not exactly the same. We'll see when we get there. It's more like if, in order for it to be considered the first rain, it doesn't have to go all the way down to the depths. In other words, there's a whole discussion about when you talk about the first rains coming, because we'll see that when they set a fast day, you had to know were there rains or not, right? If there haven't been rains, then we need the fast day. So you need, what does it mean there haven't been rains? Sometimes it rains a little bit, but the question is what's considered enough of a rain for the first rains? And after the first rains, it's only that it goes down a tefach. So it's, and here it talks about ada tahom. Doesn't match up 100%. Okay. Tanu habana. Now we're going to talk about the dates. Yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. Ata umer yoreh b'mar cheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. Oh, you know, ela yoreh b'tishrei u'malkosh b'iyar. Maybe the yoreh is in Tishrei and the malkosh is in Iyar. Which is a strange assumption why they're saying this, but maybe because we talked about the yoreh being in Tishrei in that one year. Anyway, it's hard to understand why exactly they're suggesting this. Talmud lamar bi'ito. In other words, in its time. Okay? And that's, the real time is going to be Nisan and Marcheshma. Amar Rav Nihilai bar Idi, Amar Shmuel. Malkosh. I skipped the important word here. Malkosh. Okay? Now, when we have the word, just like we did Yoreh, now we're going to try to translate Malkosh. We're going to have three different interpretations. Again, both those things are charted out on the page. Amar Rav Nihilai bar Idi, Amar Shmuel. Okay, instead of now, the first case, we had three brightot. Now we're going to have first the Devarim of Emoraim. Okay, first we have in the name of Shmuel. Davar shemal kashutehen shel Yisrael. It cuts off the obstinance. Okay, the kashye oref, right? We always talk about B'nai Yisrael, their kashye oref. So how does it knock down that they're kashye oref? Sharashi explains, when it doesn't fall, okay, then what happens? What does it mean to be kashye oref? It means that you're not really with God. You're thinking all about yourselves and you're very stubborn about your ways. So what does it make you do? If the makosh doesn't fall, you go and you pray to God. And it makes you, basically, it cuts off. It's interesting they use the word mal because that's the milah of the, you know, the brit between B'nai Yisrael and Hashem. And it's saying, when it doesn't come, it causes the people to then go back to God and pray to Him. It's a little bit strange to say this because the Malkosh is really the last rain. Now, for the last rains, we don't have prayers for so much so, because it's really the earlier rains that we have prayers for. So it's a little bit of a difficult interpretation. Debe Rabbi Ishmael Tana. Now, that interpretation is using the word Malkosh totally as a mashal, right? As a metaphysical kind of thing, whereas the next two are going to be more practical, something that the Malkosh really you see in a physical way. Debei Rabbi Ishmael Tana, in the house of Rabbi Ishmael, they had a braita. Okay, here we're quoting a braita. Davar shem mimalei tfuah b'kasheha. Okay, what does that mean? It means that the crops get full of the water. In other words, first the water, the earlier rains, make everything grow. Later, they're already grown, so what does it do? It fills the stems and the crops with water. B'matnita tana, in the Mishnah, they explain, there's a braita that explains, davar sheyored al mililot va'al kashim. Okay, and this actually, one of the interpretations used to explain why we thought maybe in ER. Because what the Malkosh is in ER, because what does it mean? It's not talking about what the rain symbolizes, which is the first one. It's not talking about what the rain physically does, which is that it physically fills up the tfu'a kasha with rain. The third interpretation is that when does it come? It comes at a time when there's mililot and kashim. In other words, in the beginning, it's just landing on seeds. Later on, it's coming on the full produce when it's already finished. So in ER, there's still mililot and kashim out in the fields, and that's why they thought maybe the rain that comes then is really the malkosh. Tana Rabbanan, Yoreb Marcheshvan u'malkosh b'nisan. Again, they're going to ask on this. Atam where Yoreb Marcheshvan o'eno ala b'chodesh kislev. You could say the order is strange here because this really should have come after the first one, and the Malkosh drasha should have come after the Yored drasha. It's a little bit out of order here. Maybe you could say that it supports that theory that the Mililot and Kashim is why they thought it was Iyar. In other words, that, so they bring in the interpretation of Malkosh that explains why they actually had a Havamina that was in Iyar. Okay, so now they say maybe it's in Kislev. Oh, I know, Ela B'Chodesh Kislev. So maybe the Yored. Maybe now, in other words, there we were talking about maybe the Malkosh is in ER. Now they're saying maybe the Yoreh is in Kislev and not in Marcheshvan. Tamud Lamar Beito, in its time, and its time is Cheshvan. Okay. Later we're going to see that there is an opinion that has, because you're thinking, why Kislev all of a sudden? First of all, Kislev isn't far from Cheshvan. We're going to see an opinion that the rains really are supposed to come in Kislev, or at least sometimes. Yoreh Malkosh. Another, I guess there's a continuation of the Braita. Ma Malkosh, all right. Tamud Lamar B'ito, Yoreh Malkosh. Ma Malkosh B'ito, Af Yoreh B'ito. Okay, the next few words are in parentheses, and it seems reasonable that they're in parentheses, meaning that we skip it, because it doesn't really seem to make so much sense here. Okay. So now, Tanya Idach. Yoreh B'marcheshvan U'malkosh B'nisan Divrei Rabbi Meir. And here we see the alternative opinion. V'chachamim Omrim Yoreh B'kislev. Chachamim, not just some opinion, but it's Chachamim. They say the Yoreh is in Kislev. They say, Man Chachamim, whose interpretation does Chachamim go according to? Am Rav Chista, Rabbi Yossi hi. Rav Chista says, this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion. Ditanya. Okay, now we're going to see a braita. Also, I charted this out for you, the different opinions. The chart's very helpful. Ezu hi Riviya Rishona, Habakira B'shlosha B'marcheshvan. Benonit B'shivabo, Afela B'shivasarbo. Okay. The Riviya Rishona has three potential dates, okay? Now, here it talks about, right, if it's early, then it's Shlosha B'Marcheshvan. If it's average, it's Shivabo. And if it's late, it's Shiva Asarbo. Okay? What does it mean that there's these three dates? Early, late, middle, right, average? So the Pshat interpretation seems to be that it's, that it could come, if you see a rain as early as this date, that's the first rain. If it comes a little later, so sometimes the rain comes a little later. If it comes really late, it means the rain came really late that year. But I saw an even better interpretation, which is that it depends on what year it is. If it's a leap year and it's a late year, right? We always say the Chagim came early, the Chagim came late, the Chagim are an average time, right? It's exactly... Right. They never are. They're always early, they're always late. But anyway, that's what it's saying here. In an early year where the calendar's earlier, it's going to be Shlosha B'Marcheshvan, which makes perfect sense because... having the dates connected to rain is strange because we know that our dates are based on the lunar calendar and not the solar calendar. Obviously, we correct it here and there, but we correct it once every few years by a month, not by a day or 2 days or, you know, and it really doesn't fit in with the rainy season 100%. So this interpretation actually makes a lot of sense. But again, it's not the only interpretation. Okay, so let's get our dates straight. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's the 3rd of Marcheshvan, the 7th of Marcheshvan, and the 17th of Marcheshvan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'Shiv'a, okay, the first date is the 7th, B'Yud Zayin, the 17th, and B'Esrim B'Shlosha. Okay, Okay, 23rd. Rabbi Yossi Omer, and here's the opinion we're looking for. B'yud Zayin, u'b'esrim v'shlosha, u'b'rosh chodesh kislev. What do you see? That according to Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Chodesh Kislev is a potential date for the first rains. So when he says Yoreb Kislev, he's going in accordance with Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and I guess saying the Yoreb can be in Kislev. Okay, because according to the others, it can't be. V'chein haya Rabbi Yossi Omer. Now we're going to see what's the relevance of when. Why do we care so much when the first rain is? And this is what I mentioned before, but now we're going to see it inside. Ein hayichidim mitanin ad she'egia Rosh Chodesh Kislev. We don't set any fast days until Rosh Chodesh Kislev because we want to wait and see. Maybe the first rains will still come Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Okay, if they haven't come by then we make a fast day. And that's the importance of seeing, did the first rain come? Because if it didn't come, we start instituting fast days, which we're going to get to soon in the Gemara. I'm Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. Okay, he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now, we're going to see there's now a new version of what Rav Chista says, and it's a little strange. Usually when there's another version, usually it's saying he didn't say halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. He said something else which implies that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, right? We had this yesterday. You know, some people say that this is the way the sugya went, right? Not that he said it like that, but now it's a little strange because it doesn't really match up. A Meimar Matna Lahaja Rav Chista. A Meimar said what Rav Chista said B'hai Lishna in this way. In other words, he said Rav Chista said it differently. B'shloshav Amar Cheshvan Sho'alim Etag Shamim Rabban Gamliel Omer B'shiv Avo. Okay, that's a quote from the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah we saw it? On the third of Amar Cheshvan we asked for rain, and Rabban Gamliel says B'shiv Avo. We haven't seen this Mishnah inside yet. We're going to get to it soon. But I think it's on Chet. Where is it? It's on, I don't know what daf, here, it's on Yud. Okay, we're going to get to it when we get to daf Yud. But anyway, we quoted it already, that there's a machloket about what's the first day we start saying on the third or the seventh. By the way, you see the third and the seventh match up to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, right? Assuming that there's a clear connection between these halachot, that's the potential for the first day, right? And that's the potential for the first day. So it makes sense. Rabbi Meir would say the potential for the first day is the third, so we're going to start asking on the third. And Rabbi Yehuda says the potential for rain is on the seventh day, so we're going to start asking on the seventh day. So then Rabbi Yehuda would match. Shoshav Mar Cheshvan is Tanakama, so Rabbi Meir would match Tanakama, and Rabbi Yehuda would match Rabban Gamliel. So Amar Rav Chista on that Mishnah Halachaka Rabban Gamliel, which matches up with Rabbi Yehuda. Well, that doesn't make any sense because Rav Chista said in the first day of the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so there's some different possibilities given here. Some people say that really Rav Chista said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, okay, and not that it's like Rav Chista. There's one. I think somebody says that, if I recall. Anyway, another interpretation is to say, since the first rain potentially falls on, according to Rabbi Yossi, on the 17th, then you could say that we start asking for rain 10 days before. In other words, it doesn't have to correlate 100% to when we expect the first rains. It could be that we're going to start saying it a certain amount of time before the first rains come. Yeah, exactly. So it could match up. The fact that he says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which is 10 days before Rabbi Yossi's opinion, I'm sorry, like Rabban Gamliel, which is 10 days before Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that could match up. Although it's not as clear cut. Okay. Kiman az lahatatanya. Now we're going to bring a brayta. We're going to say, whose opinion does this brayta match up with? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. Gishamim sheyirdu shiv'a yamim. Okay, now the whole thing with Rav Chista is kind of in parentheses. We're now going back to this brayta we have with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi about the possible days of the first, second, and third rain. The Yoreh being, right, the Yoreh having three potential dates. So now they say, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Gishamim sheyirdu shiv'a yamim zeh achar zeh, Atam moneh behen revi'a rishona u'shnia u'shlishit. If rains fell 7 days straight, you can count them for the first, the second, and the third rains. So now, they're kind of taking Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, who say that there's three potential dates for the first rains to be. They're now kind of saying that they can also count as the first, second, and third rains. Now, if you look at the space between them, okay, the distance between how many days, okay? What we need now is for, now it depends how you understand this. Most people understand this brayta when he says if it rains 7 days straight, it could count as the Raviyah Rishona, Shnia, Ushlishit. Right? It could count as three of them. But now, what does it mean it could count as three of them? So we want to find where 7 days, most of them say it could count, not really as all three, most of them interpret, but it could count as the first and second rain, or the second and the third rain. Rabbeinu Hanal has an interpretation where you could kind of say it even counts as all three, but like going into the third. But let's keep it to the more simple that it counts as two. So now what do you have an issue of? You have an issue that according to, and what does he mean basically? He means it could count as the first and the second rains. It could also count as the second and the third rains depending on when the date's going to be. So if you have a stretch of 7 days of rain, it could count as two. So now how does that work? According to Rabbi Meir, we have the 3rd, the 7th, and the 17th. Now, between the 3rd and the 7th, you could see how they could count within 7 days. But the 7th and the 17th, there's 10 days in between. They can't possibly count together. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have Zayin, you have 7, you have 17, and 23. So again, 17 and 23 could be within 7 days. But 7 and 17 can't be within seven days. But Rabbi Yossi works very nicely because you have 17, you have 23, and you have 30. Okay? Rosh Chodesh Kislev, right? So now, this works. Okay? The problem is, there's a bit of a problem, because it doesn't 100% work. Because 7 in this, there's basically 7 days, right? If you count 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, that's 7 days. If you count from 23 to 30, it's 8 days. So you can't have 7 days where it all goes in, but he kind of, Rabbeinu Hanal said, if you have half day here, half day there, you know, you can kind of count it. Anyway, it works clearly better according to Rabbi Yosef. So, they say that that's Rabbi Yosef's opinion. Now, we're going to go back to this, again, the three dates here. Bishlama, Raviyah Rishona. What's the relevance of accounting as the Raviyah Rishona, Shnia, and Shlishit? What does this mean? So Bishlama Raviyah Rishona Lish'ol, Shlishit Lehitanot, Shnia Lamai. We understand we have a first one which tells you what date do we start counting on. Okay, the first rains, right? We want to know when it's going to rain first so that we can know what date that was the connection between this Mishnah about Shlosha B'mar Cheshvan or Shiva, right? When the first rains are and when we start counting, when we start asking. Shlishit, we need to know Lehitanot. Because if we don't see after the third date, right, the third date is significant, right? This is really going back to the Braita, Ezo Hi Raviyah Rishona, right, and it gives you the three options. So it's important to know the first for knowing when to ask for rain, the last for knowing if it hasn't rained, we have to make a fast. But Shnia Lamai, what's the relevance of the second? So now we're going to give a whole bunch of things where we talk about the Raviyah Shnia, the second rains, and how it's important. For what is it significant? Amar Rabbi Zera l'nidarim. It's important for nidarim. What do you mean nidarim? Titnan. If somebody, it says in the Mishnah, in nidarim, it's actually a Mishnah in Shvi'it. Hanoder ad hagshamim. If you say, I'm making a neder until the rains come. Okay, so what does that mean? Mishi yerdug shamim. Ad shetere riviyah shnia. Okay, what's the date that we're going to count it from? The second rains. It's interesting because the first rains, right, we also look at them here. The first rains are kind of, right, according to that first interpretation we saw today, it's just a warning signal, right? It's not a real rain. We're going to see later also, the first rains, they say only, like I said, it goes down a tefach, and the next rains go down much more. The first rain isn't really rain. The second rain is the one that's really rain. Rav Zvi Amar Lizeitim. What does that mean? Ditnan. Me matai kol adam mutarim belechet b'shikha b'peah. Mishel yochu hanimoshot. Okay, what does this mean? When can you assume that the aniim have already come and taken your lekat shechan peah, and you can now use it if you want, okay? That basically no more aniim are going to come anymore. So the answer is mishel yochu hanimoshot. We're going to see a little bit further on what these nimoshot is. I think we learned this already. Did it come up in the Gemara we saw? I don't know. I thought it did. I'm sure it came up somewhere. Okay, when it comes to the stuff that's left over with the grapes, Mishiyachu aniim b'kerem, v'yavo. From when the aniim went through the kerem and came back. In other words, they went through twice, basically. B'zeitim mishetirei ribi'ashnia. With zeitim, when can you start collecting your zeitim again? right? When, after the second rains, you know nobody's coming at this point. Everybody's collected everything from the trees. Because again, going back, the first rains are your sign. Go get everything. Okay? If they haven't gotten it by the second rains, clearly no one's taking it anymore. Mayne moshot, now we're going to explain what this is. There's two different interpretations. Some people explain that they actually mean the same. It's really just an etymological question. What's the source of the word and not what time period is it? The time is the same, whether you go by this interpretation or the other. The question is just, what is nimosho? Sabe da'az le'atigra. Rabbi Yochanan says it's the old people who walk with a cane, and those old aniim are walking with a cane. It's going to take them much longer to get to your field. So it's when the old people who walk slowly have gone through your field already, then you know nobody's coming anymore. Rish Lakish amar likute batar likute, when the second round of people have come. Okay, you had your first round of aniim, and then the aniim do a second round, and once they're done with their second round, then you know that they're finished. Okay, that was interpretation number two. So what's the Mishael Chona Moshe? Because I didn't have a chance to see it on the sheet. I'll just chart it out here. The Riviyah Shnia. So Riviyah Shnia we have. Interpretation number one, we need it linidari. Okay, if you say until the rains, it means the second rain. Second one is this issue of the zeitim on the trees. At what point can you assume that the aniim have come and are finished, and if there's still stuff left, you could take it for yourself? So that's the Riviyah Shnia. Rav Papa Amar, Kedei Lahalech B'Shvilei HaRashut. Da'amar Mar, Mahalchim Kol Adam B'Shvilei HaRashut Ad Jeterei Riviyah Shnia. What's the issue here? This is very interesting. In those days, there were fields that basically right belonged to people, but often there were no ways to get places. There weren't roads, and clearly, you know, so some people would walk through fields. Now, they allowed people to walk through other people's fields as long as they didn't damage the fields. Now, when the second rains come, already you're not allowed to walk through those fields, because what happens? You've just recently planted the seeds, and the rains have come, and everything's moist, and if you trample on them, you're going to ruin the fields. So you're allowed to walk until the second rains. Okay, so that's the third interpretation, kedei lahalech, or we'll just write b'shvilei harishut, on the shvil, right, the paths of the rishut, that we allow people to walk through other people's property. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar leva'er perot shvi'it. Okay, what is that? Perot shvi'it we talked about. In the Shemitah year, you're allowed to eat fruits that grow on your trees or the crops, again, depending on whether it's the seventh year or the eighth year, depending on what they are and what the issues are. But once they're no longer, the animals in the field can't eat them, then you have to take it, whatever you brought, like you're allowed to collect and bring into your house small quantities, but let's say you bring in all the the grains in your field, and then there's no more outside for the behemoth to eat, so then you have to get rid of everything in your house, whatever's left. Okay, that's called bi'or perot shvi'it. We actually had a discussion about whether it would, in the last masechta, we had a discussion about whether it applies to fruits that fall over into the eighth year. Is bior just a chiyuv in the seventh year or also in the eighth year? Anyway, and there's a whole machlokek here, what they're talking about, the eighth year, the seventh year, but we're not going to get into it. So my time in Dichtiv, it says, lachem le'ochla, okay, the Shemitah produce is for you to eat, and then it says, v'lehebem techa u'lechaya asher ba'artzecha. And it's also for your animals in your fields, in the land. Kol zman, and here's the drasha. Kol zman shechaya ochel epasadeh, heachel behemtecha b'bayit. Kalel lechaya min asadeh, kalel behemtecha min abayit. Here the drasha is really on the chaya and the behema. The chaya are the ones who eat out in the wild, and the behemot are the ones who you feed, domesticated animals. So they say, once the chayot in the wild fields have nothing to eat, then you also have to get rid of the food for your animals within your house. Amar Rabbi Abav. Okay, so those are the four interpretations that we had. Okay, and there, again, what does it mean? That the zmana bi'ur, when do we assume? And that's instead of saying, let's look out and see, is there anything left in the fields, they set a date, which we learned a lot of times. It just becomes unclear when it's all particularly dependent on your particular situation. So they just said, the date is the Riviyah Shnia. Okay. Which is self is flexible, yes. Amar Rabbi Abav. My lashon riviyah, okay, just like we had Yoreh Malkosh, so what's the lashon of riviyah? Davar sheroveya et hakarka. Kidja Rav Yehuda, damar Rav Yehuda, mitra ba'ala da'arahu. Okay, the rain is like the husband of the earth. Roveya has a sexual connotation. It means to penetrate. So it penetrates the ground just like a husband penetrates his wife, okay? So the rain is like a husband to the land. Shnei amar, Ki kasher, and here's the proof that it's like a relationship between a husband and wife. Ki kasher yered hageshem v'hashelag min hashemayim. Okay, a pasuk from Yeshayahu. B'shama lo yashuv. Right, it's not going to go back to the sky. It's an interesting, right? Ki'im hirva, here's that word again, hirva ta'aretz, v'holida v'hitzmicha. Okay, it's going to make it give birth and grow. V'am rabbi avahu, rabbi arishona, kadesha tere bakar katefa. Okay, here we're going to talk about what's the significance. How do we know rabbi arishona, how much? It goes into the ground, a tefach. A tefach, we know, is a hand's breadth, not very much. Shnia kede laguf ba pichavit. In those days, they would take wine, they would have these big barrels of wine, they would put a cover on it, and then to seal it, they would take this mud, and that's called laguf ba tachavit. They would put a seal around it so that no air gets in. As we all know, wine, you know, the more air that it gets exposed to it, the worse it is. So they would take mud from the ground. Now, how do you get mud from the ground? Well, it has to get wet from the rainwater. So the rabiah shnia goes down enough that the ground becomes muddy enough, right? Think about after the whole dry season, right? You need more rain to make enough mud to be able to laguf ba tachavit. Amar Rapista, kshamim sheyirdu kedei laguf bahem pi chavit, ein bahem nishun va'atzar. Okay, now we're going to get into all sorts of rains that if they happen, it is or it's not considered va'atzar tashamayim. Okay, remember we had in Shema, it says, Va'atzar et ha-shamayim v'lo yiyem matar. So what does it mean, Va'atzar et ha-shamayim? Last time we learned it, that it talks about the wind, and not that, right? That Va'atzar et ha-shamayim v'lo yiyem matar. Atzar et ha-shamayim can't be rain. It must be that there's clouds, because it must be talking about certain clouds and wind. I can't remember, was it clouds or wind? I think it was the wind. Anyway, now it says, Va'atzar, they are connecting with rain in this, okay? And they're saying, if enough rains have come in order to give you muddy rain, in order to muddy earth, to laguf bahem tachavi, to seal off the chaviyot, the barrels of wine, then you can't say that was a year where atzar et ha-shamayim. Let's say there's no other rain after that, right? That was enough rain to be constituted as there's no atzirat ha-shamayim, which I assume means then we don't make a fast. Ba'amar of chistag, shamim sheyirdu kodem ve'atzar, Ein bahem mishum va'atzar. Okay, what does this mean? What if a little bit of rain came down, not a lot, and it was in the morning? Kodem va'atzar means before you say kriyat shema in the morning. Okay, before you read va'atzar et hashamayim, if rains came, ein bahem mishum va'atzar. Morning rains are good, beneficial rains, and therefore, even if it wasn't a lot of rain, we talked about this before, right? Someone was saying about sprinkling, right? People say, you know, you put your sprinklers on at night or early in the morning, because then the sun comes and it gets absorbed into the ground. So according to this, we're going to see a totally opposite interpretation. But right now they're assuming that the morning rains are the best rains. Some people actually have a different nusach in this, and it comes out totally differently. It's the opposite. But we'll read according to this nusach. Amar Abaye, lo amaran ela kodem va'atzar de'orta. It doesn't mean kodem atzar in the morning. It means before atzar at the nighttime. Aval kodem v'atzar d'safra yesh b'han mishum v'atzar. Morning rains don't go very far. It's the afternoon rains that we say it about. So if you said it, if the rains just before you say the nighttime kriyat shema, if it rains late in the day, those are the rains that even if it rains a little bit are siman bracha, and they really give us more benefit than it seems. But the morning rains aren't good. To Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Yitzchak, hane anane tzafra, the morning rains, late behum mashasha. They don't really have much. They're not significant. Okay, and how does he prove it? Dichtiv, okay, so here's a proof text for Abaye who says against Rav Chista that it's not the morning rains, it's the afternoon rains. Because we see the morning rains don't have much. Here's a nice proof text, okay? It's a pasuk from Moshea. Hashem is giving tochacha to the people. Ma eseh lecha Ephraim, ma eseh lecha Yehuda. What am I going to do with you? Bechastichem ke'anan boker. Your chesed is like the anan boker, right? The morning clouds which bring light rains, they're useless. Like your chesed you're doing is not really significant. It doesn't have long impacting effects. Amale rapapa la baye. So now Rav Papa says to Abaye, "V'ha amre inshe be'maftech. How does it write it there?
B'miftach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's okay.
B'miftach. Bave mitra, when the rain falls while the gates are opened early in the morning.
Ah, okay. So, thank you. B'miftach bave mitra, when the rain falls, when the gates are open, which is in the afternoon.
No, in the early morning?
Yeah. Ah, okay. B'miftach bave mitra, what do they say? Okay, this is what people say. When it rains early in the morning, they say, okay, remember, Abai said the morning rains aren't good. Now we're going to have a thing that people say, okay? What do they say? Baruch Hamra Moch Sakech Vigane. They say to the guy who's riding the donkey, who's going to basically try to sell all the produce, fold up your sack and go to sleep. Why fold up your sack and go to sleep? Because what's going to happen? The rains are going to, if you see the morning clouds, you know it's going to be a real rainy day. It's going to rain all day. And you're not going to have any work. Why you're not going to have any work? Not just because, right, the pshat seems to be because you're not going to go anywhere, right? You're not going to be able to go selling. It's pouring. But also, what's going to happen? If it pours, it's gishmei bracha. Everything's going to grow. And then you're going to have, the produce is going to be so plentiful that you're not going to have anything to sell. There's going to be no demand. Supply is going to be so great. Now they say, don't bring me a proof from there. Lo kasha. Hadakater be'eva, v'hadakater ba'anane. There's two types of clouds. And that's what we've been talking about before, right? Two types of rains, two types of clouds. There's the eva, which are the thick, thick clouds, which are real rain clouds. And then you'll have that case where you can fold up your sacks. And we're talking about ananes, light clouds, and then it's not really much of rain. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Tava l'shata detevet armelata. It's good when there's a year that Tevet is an almana, meaning that there's no rain in Tevet. Ika da'amre, de'lo baira tarbitze, v'ika da'amre, de'lo shakel shudfana. Okay, there's two different reasons why Tevet is an armalata. One is because it'll damage too much rain will damage the vegetables. So if it rains before Tevet, then the gardens it'll ruin the vegetables. And some say it's so there won't be a shidafon, that there'll be way too many rains and it'll drown out everything. So then they say, right, but this is strange because we've been talking about rain coming in Marcheshvan. All of a sudden they're saying Tevet. So some people talk about when it rains until Tevet and then it stops in Tevet. In other words, you want rains until then, but then at a certain point you want the rains to stop because too many rains aren't going to be good. So they say, Ini v'haktiv, Ini v'hamar Rav Chista tava l'shata d'tevet minuvlata, right? It's great a year when Tevet is minuval. What does that mean, minuval? It's disgusting, it's full of rains, it's muddy, it's gross everywhere. So what do they say? Lo kasha. Not a difficulty. Had ata mitrame kara, v'had lo ata mitrame kara. When Tevet is minuval, it's good when there was no rain before that. Then it's good when it pours in Tevet. But when there was rain before that, it's not as good when it rained, right? We'd rather not have the rains in Tevet. But Amar Chizdek, shamim sheyardu al miktzat medina, v'al miktzat medina lo yardu. Now we're going back to, when is it considered v'atzaret v'shamayim? So let's say it rains in one city and it doesn't rain in the other city. You can't say now that's v'atzaret ha'shamayim because it did rain somewhere. Ini, is that really true? V'haktiv, v'gam anochi manati mikem et ha'geshem, v'od shlosha chodashim l'katsir, v'himtarti al irachat, v'al irachat lo amtir, chalkacha timater, v'chalkacha lo timtir alav, tibash. This is a pasuk in Amos, which is saying, I'm going to prevent the rain from coming. I'm going to have it rain in one place. I'm not going to have it rain in another place. I'm going to have it rain in one area and not another area. So what do you mean? Here you see it's a curse. It's a bad thing. So why do you say it's a good thing, right? It means that there's no curse, that there's no v'atzaret ha'shamayim. Here it seems to imply explicitly. So again, we're going to give some interpretation similar to before. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Oh, sorry. Before we get to this, this is a continuation. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav shtehen l'klala. Both are l'klala, right? It's bad for both places, the place where it didn't rain and the place where it did rain. So lo kasha, hada ata tuva, hada ata kedimibayale. When it rains in one place and not in the other place, and it's considered a klalata both, that's a place where it poured terrible rains in one place, and it didn't rain at all in the other place because the terrible rains were too much rain. But when it rained exactly the amount that they needed in one place and it didn't rain at all in the other place, that's a case where we say it's not Atzaret HaShemayim, it's a bracha. Even though it didn't rain in the other place, God clearly was with us and had it rain in that one place. Am Rav Ashi, di kanami, I can even prove that from the pasuk, dichtiv timtar, tehe makom matar. It's going to turn into a place full of rain. In trench of rain. What does the pasuk say? It said, al irachad, right, behimtarti al irachad, val irachad lo timtir, chalkachad timater. What is timater? It will be absolutely full of rain. Okay, he proves it from the pasuk. It doesn't, again, it's not 100% of a proof, because you could say it just means it's going to rain there, but he says it's a strong lashon, so shema mina that that's the case. There's two different types of rain, so it could be it rains in one place and not the other, and it's a bracha. It could be it rains in one place and not the other, and it's a klaf for both. One is getting cursed by tons of rain, and the other is getting cursed by no rain. Amar Rabbi Ava, we're going to end with this bracha on l'kshamim. Okay? Me'ematai mevrachin al l'kshamim. I don't know if you ever heard about this. There's an issue, and it comes up l'halacha, that you make a bracha on rain. What does it mean you make a bracha on rain? We don't make a bracha every year when it rains. But if there's a serious drought, and then it starts to rain, so there's a bracha that we say. Comes up in the... There's a machloket here about exactly at what point, you know, what kind of rain would cause us to say this bracha. And some people say that in a place where generally there is a lot of rain, we don't use this bracha at all. It's only a place that is susceptible to droughts, and then there's a drought, and then... but some people say, no, even in a place that never has droughts, but there was a drought in a particular year, you would also say this bracha. So basically, the bracha is, when there's a drought, you make this bracha on the rain. At what point do you do it? The first question. Mishayetze chatan likrat kala. Okay, so what does that mean, Mishayetze? Again, we're having this analogy of the rain being like a husband to the wife. And it seems to indicate, right, Rashi explains anyway, you do kol kach, shatipa nufelet, yotzeit acheret ubolete kinigda. Okay, the rain drops and springs back up. It's almost like the chatan going likrat kala. The rain, it sprinkles on the puddles and splashes back up. There's a few different interpretations given here. Anyway, that's exactly what is a machloket. Mind the barech, what's the bracha? Amar Yehuda Amarav, Modim anachnu lach Hashem Elokeinu al kol tipa v'tipa shehoradet alanu. Okay? We thank you for every drop of rain that you've given us. Rabbi Yochanan Mesayim Behachi. Okay, now we're going to have a machloket about how to end the bracha. He would end it this way. Ilufinu male shirak hayam ulashonenu rina kamon galav. Okay, basically saying we end it like we do in the tefillah of Nishmat, which seemed to exist because here it says b'chule, ad El Yazvuni Rachamecha, sorry, Al Yazvuni Rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu, Veloazavunu, Baruch Rov HaOdel. So you continue that sentence, Kamon Galav, it's unclear, you continue it until where. Okay, but then they say, and then you would finish with Al Yazvuni Rachamecha, don't leave us, right? Again, a bakasha, you've thanked us, and now don't leave us. Baruch Rov HaOdel. So now they ask a question, Rov HaOdel, Velo Kol HaOdel? What do you mean? Most of the thanks. What about all of the thanks, right? We owe God everything. Amarav, Ema El HaHodot. We should say El HaHodot and not Rov HaHodot. Now that he's the God of thanks, or the God that's Magia that should be Ra'oi to thank. So now we have a very common thing that comes up in Brachot a lot, which is we have one person saying this and one person says that. So Amarav, Papa, Hilkach Nimrinu L'Travayu. Let's say both of them. I'll give you some examples where we do this. Rofeh chol basar umafli la'asot. Okay, we say this in Asher Yatzar. This is because one guy said we should say rofeh chol basar, and one guy said we should say mafli la'asot. He said, let's combine them and we'll say both. Okay, some even brachot haTorah also. There were some people we have say three different. That's even different because that's how many brachot to say. Here it's just the nusach of how we should end it. In brachot haTorah, there's different variations of, you know, we should say this bracha, we should say that bracha, and one guy says, Rav Hamnuna says, we should say them all. And we say them all. There's a few more interpretations to why we say three different brachot, but that's where it comes up in the Gemara, so we should say them both. El HaHodot v'Rov HaHodot. Okay, say them both.
Seems to me that